Hey, can I talk to you? Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen now to Dear Felicity on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30 minutes.
If you want to be a part of this podcast, give us a call at 646-STEW-138. All right, let's get into today's stories. Something taking over my Instagram feed. Like, I follow a lot of Trader Joe's influencers. I don't really know why I follow Trader Joe's and Target ones influencers.
Wow.
Just to, like, know what's up. So they've been posting...
Let's put a pin in that and talk off the pod.
Okay.
Okay.
They've been posting a lot about how the mini tote bags are reselling for hundreds online. But actually, it's thousands. Like, there's one going for $999.
No, someone put it up for that. This can't be real.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. I don't really understand it. But now you, like, literally cannot get them. They're completely out of
stock. For people that don't follow a ton of Trader Joe's influencers online, let me explain. They're exactly what they sound like. Mini Trader Joe's totes bags. They come in four very basic primary colors. And they're a nice size, which I think is one of the popular things about them. Because, you know, it's like you can put a book in there. And like a snack.
I feel like it's too small.
It's small, but some tote bags are too big. And they're aesthetically pleasing in a very, very basic way. And they're $2.99 to purchase, but you can resell them apparently for thousands.
Thousands of dollars. Yeah, yeah. It's just an interesting status symbol where it's like something so cheap and so small, but it's like also so bougie. I shop at Trader Joe's and here's my bag. Like,
is this done intently? Like, did they make a limited supply?
No, I don't think so. I think it like just
this
happened.
This is weird.
It's like a TikTok thing. It just took off.
I like it.
They have been making these bags for like a while. It's not like brand new.
Somewhere there's someone taking credit for this at like, you know, the marketing department of Trader Joe's that deserves none of it. But they're like, this was my vision.
It's like Beanie Babies, but tote bags.
Yes.
It's like, and like, what color do you have? It's just.
There's four colors. It's like yellow, red,
primary
blue, and
colors,
green.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not complicated. I mean, they're nice shades.
Yeah. And they're nice bags, but like, I don't know. Like, is this the new it bag for summer, like on the beach? And better have your Trader Joe's.
Trader
bag.
Joe's isn't necessarily a brand that you're like dying to be associated with.
No. In fact, I would say I'm not because they have really shitty produce. They have really good frozen stuff and
yes.
pantry stuff. The produce
yes.
is a no. But like, I don't know. It's just, it's wild. This is just taken off. Sometimes I'm like, wow, I don't understand the world anymore.
That is the perfect way to put a button on this. I don't understand the world anymore. A $2.99 Trader Joe's tote bag is selling for hundreds of dollars online and it's become a status symbol. I don't understand the world anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. I guess the only thing positive I'll say is that I'm glad that a status symbol is $3 and not $3,000.
I guess, but they turned the $3 product into a $3,000 status symbol.
Yeah, I guess. I know. It's like, what
just,
are we doing here?
All I have to say is this, is TikTok and all you influencers on Juliette's timeline, just don't come for Kirkland, okay? Because if you come for Kirkland, I'm going to take it personal.
I think a lot of people feel that way. People were like, there's like a diehard Kirkland.
I know.
And I
felt like I was early on it, and I feel like it's starting to get a little too popular for my taste.
Again, that is definitely like a TikTok thing, when people like show their Kirkland
I
on
know.
TikTok.
I'm out. God damn it.
All right, let's move on to a story from the New York Times, written by T.M. Brown. About restaurant cancellation fees, which I just want to say, shout out to the country of Spain. We discussed a similar concept in Mallorca last year, and it's taken hold here in America. And basically, on Resy, you have to put down a credit card very often
yes.
now
yes.
for your reservation. And if you no-show or cancel, you have to pay a fee. And some people are pissed about this. Jacoby, where do you stand?
Okay. If I make a reservation and I know I'm not going to to make that reservation, I communicate that to the restaurant as vigorously as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. I just feel like just karmically, it's almost like selfish the way I do it. I just don't want to screw these people over or have them hold a table or someone be standing at the bar waiting for a table when I know I'm not going to be able to make it. Now, generally, they allow you to cancel 24 hours in advance. That seems like a big number to me. One of the places that was featured said that they do at the beginning of dinner service. So if you get them before 5:30 or 6 o'clock, then you can sort of like have a penalty-free cancellation, which seems more fair to me.
I agree.
So I'm pro the policy because I don't want the restaurants to get screwed over, and I feel like you're kind of being a jerk if you reserve a place and then don't intend to sit in it, right?
I agree with you.
Question for you, which is part of the article, which I found really interesting, and I want your honest answer very quickly. What is the right price point per person for a cancellation fee?
I think it should be a flat fee. And I think, or I guess...
Per table? What if it's eight? Eight people is different than two people in impact on the restaurant.
I guess if my flat fee is $5 per person, because I feel like a table of four...
That's ridiculously too low. That's insanely okay. Too low. What do you always say on this podcast? What have you learned about law and policy in this podcast?
Needs to be a deterrent.
Deterrent up to $5 if we... No way!
Because I just feel like $25 like cancellation fee is like fine. That's like... Per person, you know.
25 per person seems about right.
I think 25 total. I feel like if you don't show it, it should be $25.
It's a table for eight people.
Yeah, I know. It's where, that's where it breaks
it's
down.
It's minuscule at that point.
Here's my thing about it.
Okay.
I often will like realize I need to cancel like an hour before. Like, let's say it's like 5 and I'm like, oh, I can't be there by 6:30 or something like that. And you can't do that online. And I try. So then yes. I have to call.
Yes.
I think that the apps need to make it easier to cancel online. And I do not want to have to make a phone call. I'm like, honestly, okay with you charging me any amount if I can hit a button on my phone to cancel.
I think that's fair.
If I have to call, it's a different story.
Yes. Because then like, you have to look them up online and you have to call. And it's not like restaurants used to be. They don't just pick up on the first ring.
Yeah, they don't pick up. And so if I'm making a phone call, then... I don't think I should have to pay anything. But if it's available to do almost no work to cancel, then yes, I should have to pay.
I often think is how much does this impact the establishment, mm-hmm. right? Like a workout class is a good example. Sometimes there's a 40 spots in a workout class. I am one of eight people that reserve those spots, but I don't show up, but I still get charged.
Right.
I understand if all 40 of those spots were taken and then someone else doesn't get to work out, the establishment is then affected by me not being there. But if the establishment is no negative effect of me not being there, then why am I being charged with that? And I kind of feel it's the same thing with restaurants. If I let you know that table is available, if you're a popular restaurant, you'll be able to fill it. If you're not a popular restaurant, that's your fault for not being a popular
restaurant.
Totally.
It has to be like an opportunity cost for the restaurant kind of thing.
Yes.
Like it can't just all be on the patron. I will say in the article, there was like a small sample size, but basically two restaurants said that when they had these charges, one was $25 and the other was £30 in London, but $38, that the number of last minute cancellations and no-shows dropped by 27%.
Yes. And one place was $100 a person. They charged someone $200 for no-showing at there. Granted, a 2-star Michelin restaurant, but that's almost the price of the meal. Like, that's kind of insane.
I would just not go. I would just be like, well, I'm not going there. I would
probably write some very strongly worded emails. If you charged me $200 for me and my wife not showing up at the reservation, I'm sorry. Like, I fell over and broke my ankle. I know.
Then like, well, how easy was it to cancel? That's my thing. A place like that also probably makes you call or something like that.
Yes.
And I'm just like, make it easy. Let's meet each other on the equal playing field here, you know?
Yes. I also think in your defense, if the app makes this all one-click ease, like the same way that they'll say 24 hours in advance, be like, confirm your reservation. And then you confirm it. It's kind of being like, hey, here's your chance.
Yeah.
And then if you really can't make it, then you can just click, sorry, I can't make it, cancel. And if you give them like 90 minutes, I think you should be fine.
I agree with you too. 90 minutes, I think, is the threshold based on whatever time. And the app should be like time bound based on that, not on like the date.
I think the only problem is that restaurant proprietors don't use this podcast to set policies.
How do we fix that? How do we change that?
That's great. A problem. I'll put a pin in that for off the pod too.
All right, let's move on. Talking about 50 Cent. 50 Cent
God.
Uses his Instagram with impact.
I love 50 Cent when he has been
he's got vengeance.
unjustly treated in his mind, and especially when he wants money. He's like the best bill collector in the history of bill collection.
So 50 Cent has a liquor brand. It is called Sire. And it was like a sub brand of Beam Suntory, which makes a lot of other spirits. And
obviously, it's like Jim Beam and Suntory whiskey, right? And it's awesome. But like this, I don't want to get too much into the embezzlement of it all because there's some like real legal implications and millions of dollars at stake.
You just gave right the punchline. We didn't even say embezzlement yet.
Well, I was just trying to say because it was just like I read the whole article and I was like, well, this is getting kind of gnarly at the bottom here. Like millions of dollars in employees' wages being stolen from. It's just like, well, this is like real crime is being alleged. But of course, Beam Suntory puts out a statement being like, that's all false, 50 Cent.
So he accused him of embezzlement for basically overcharging on Sire and then not giving him all of that money that he deserves, essentially.
Yes.
And the thing that's so exciting is that he uses Instagram to call them out. And I use exciting loosely, but it reminded me of when times were simpler.
Of course.
And when he went after Rand,
yes.
who also owed him money.
Yes. But the thing I love about 50 Cent's bill collection techniques is he doesn't call a lawyer and get counsel first.
No.
He just goes straight from the heart. And another thing that I love about his Beam Suntory diatribes, at the end he says, I need my money by Monday. Which is like, it's not a threat, but it's very threatening.
He's in this on a Monday, on March 11th. So he gave them
a full week.
Yeah. I would say that's 4 business days. It's like 4.5, I guess.
You're working the weekend if you're trying to pay 50 Cent millions of dollars.
That's true. Big companies move slowly.
You're canceling some reservations and eating some fees.
I just love how he deploys his Instagram. It's smart.
I love it so much.
It makes
a ton of sense.
So much.
And if you have that platform, try to get what you want. I think he's specifically looking for like tens of millions of dollars. Like a lot.
Yeah, it's up there. But
more than 6.
But he's going to get something.
Some of the other dollars, it's really great. All right, let's move on to a 50 adjacent story that comes to us from Vanderpump Rules this week. Are you watching the season of Vanderpump?
I'm watching the season. I'm a couple episodes back.
I'm not watching.
We can also put a pin in that for post-pod agenda.
I'm just like, I don't miss Tom Schwartz. I don't miss Tom Sandoval.
It is. The entire season is about Scandoval. It's getting a little frustrating.
Like
episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, episode 4. Is they're all dealing with it? They use the word trauma all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, one of you cheated on another one of you with one other of you. This is not the first time it's ever happened in a friend group, but it's the first time that everyone's talked about it. Like, they're
nauseam.
In therapy for 18 months.
I'm
and
so
everyone's
over
got their
it.
Own podcast about it. And everyone gets mad about what everyone else says on their podcast. It's just this whole, it's this huge, like, victimization circle jerk, which is kind of getting a little tired.
I'm so bored of it. That's why I'm not watching. However, I do wish I was watching this week because apparently Lisa unveiled the fact that without telling Tom and Tom, she just moved Pump into part of TomTom and just took it over. It was like
one of the storylines is that she's shutting down Pump.
Right.
And apparently it's after 10 years of lease and they had a successful thing. They tried to re-up it in an insanely high number and they had to end Pump. And they're breaking down all the tables. It's kind of like this whole sad thing where they're making it sound like Lisa herself in her high heels is like in charge of moving all of the things out of the space, which is kind of adorable. But
she's a mover in her spare time.
But she took the garden bar at TomTom and put like a little sign up that says like Pump Brunch. It's like almost like a homemade sign, like for a lemonade stand. And apparently some of the employees from Pump are now working at the garden bar and they're creating a Pump-like experience with some of the Pump cocktails and the Pump menu items with the Pump chef.
And so they're just keeping the good times going.
Yes.
Next door.
My favorite part, though.
Yeah.
Is what did she reference Tom and Tom as?
2.5% owners.
2.5% owners.
Yeah, it's really low.
She's like, we generally don't counsel 2.5% owners before we make decisions like this.
I gotta say, that's fair.
It's very fair.
Yeah, it's like, is the minority owner of the Knicks getting consulted on every decision that they make? I don't think so.
Yeah, he was going to say, we need Precious and Chua. There is no minority owner of the Knicks. Knicks are doing well right now. But this is obviously a for television event, like the entire thing. But another thing that me and my wife are obsessed with is something about her sandwich shop.
Mm, is that something about her that's never opened?
Never opened still.
Also around the corner from TomTom.
Yes. So I researched this last week, not for this podcast, just like on my own time.
Yeah, it's just not open.
I just wanted to know when they were going to open it. And they hired some like adults to like be in charge of managing it. It still doesn't have an opening date.
Still closed.
They still can't get it open. They make sandwiches.
It's really, really confusing. Also, like, they've missed the window. Like, they had to have done this, like, 6 months ago.
Yes.
It's really, like, more embarrassing than whatever's happening with the Toms and TomTom.
It's all embarrassing.
They got that
it's
open.
Almost like the people that wait tables at, what's it, Vanderpump Restaurant? sir.
Sir.
It's almost like the people that wait tables at sir maybe shouldn't open their own places.
Or like hand over the keys like earlier, you know, maybe be a 2.5% owner so you can actually
yes,
get it open.
But even when they were 2.5% owners, they would have all these adults come and have real conversations with them. And they're like, nah, we're good.
So embarrassing for everyone.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to a story I'm genuinely excited about. I guess people, not me, I wish I'd been doing this, but people have been putting Cheez-It crackers into ranch dressing.
Have they?
Well, there was no specific evidence in this article from Food and Wine.
When you say putting into, are they crumbling it up and putting it in there and using it as an ingredient in the ranch, or are they dipping the tiny little cracker in like a bowl of ranch?
I think they're dipping it in. That's what I got from the article.
But Cheez-Its are very much a part of my life. I don't know if I mentioned this. I have children. They're too small to dip into anything.
I don't agree. In college, we used to do a lot of Cheez-Its into whipped cream cheese.
What?
Yeah, it was delicious.
What?
Yeah.
I feel like you're getting a lot of finger in the whipped cream cheese.
No, it went okay. Have the hand-eye coordination to handle it, and it was delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Whipped Philadelphia cream cheese is light enough to be a dip, and use it that way, I will.
I bet that sounds fantastic.
I think
whipped cream cheese is underutilized as a society.
I love it. It's a staple of my fridge.
Underutilized. It's underutilized.
It's a great base for so many things.
So I've never heard in my existence people dipping Cheez-Its in ranch. However, it was happening. And the people at Hidden Valley caught wind.
And so now they're making ranch. Cheesy ranch, which is Cheez-Its, which is what you're talking about. It's cheese added to ranch.
Yes, it's like the
ranch.
Cheese flavor in the
cheese
ranch.
Cheese whiz with ranch, which sounds fucking awesome.
It sounds like how it's like wheels on suitcases, like I always say. Like, how come
so
we didn't do this
smart.
Before? Why did this take until 2024 for this to happen? So when you read this headline and realized what the product was, what were some of the first foods that came to mind?
Celery, just like a dip.
Oh,
also
like
it says,
a crudité.
Yeah, it says on the packaging, great for dipping.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously. See, I was thinking more like a pretzel.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like a bread.
Mmm, that sounds good too.
Yeah, like almost like a baguette.
Like a fondue kind of situation.
Yeah.
That sounds great too. But yeah, I was thinking more like a spread, like next to the onion dip. I also love onion dip.
Maybe we could hire that girl and get like a $5,000 crudité board.
Great idea.
And put some of that in there.
I'm disappointed to say this is only at Walmart and Kroger's. I don't have Walmart or Kroger's near me.
I don't either.
So I would love to get them. I'm going to have to email, I guess, Hidden Valley Ranch or something.
It was
really
hiddenvalleyranch@gmail.com, right?
I assume so.
That's
yeah,
how
of
it
course.
Works, right?
Yeah,
you're going to get someone. You're going to get someone from the company if you email hiddenvalleyranch@gmail.com.
I think it sounds really good.
It does sound really good. A lot of times when it's like one of these like flavor collaboration
yeah,
things,
like,
it seems like it's just for the press release. It's like, we've got pickle-flavored beer. It's like, I like pickles, I like beer, but that doesn't sound like a good combination.
Don't need it. Yeah.
This cheesy ranch sounds like something that should have happened before.
This actually sounds awesome.
I'm sure it has happened before, but at this level of popularity with big brands.
I mean, like, do I drive to a Walmart to look
there,
for it?
It can't be that far. There's got to be a Walmart in Queens.
Yeah, there must be.
There is. I mean, we're not going to go there and get this
well,
stuff.
I've got some time in my hands.
Do you know what that's a job for?
Producer Mike?
Producer Mike.
Well, maybe I volunteer as tribute. I don't know.
No, you don't. I know you do not.
Okay.
You're just saying things at this point. You're just saying words.
Let's move on to a story that I just want to read the headline. Ever crave Applebee's and IHOP at the same time? Joint restaurants could be coming to the U.S.
Okay. First of all, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Like being high and wanting Applebee's and IHOP.
Okay, great. For you, for me, it's I'm at the Pizza Hut.
I'm at the Taco Bell.
I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. I couldn't get it out of my head the whole time I was reading this. I was like, this is old. This is a great song from like 2011.
So I thought this was going to be like about having marijuana like in your food.
That's really where your head went.
Oh, it's a joint. And I was like,
oh!
I was like,
oh, it was the pun.
I was like, a joint restaurant. And I was like, I thought it was like a restaurant that would be selling joints.
Joints.
Yes. And that was
and
like,
also pancakes.
And that would make sense at Applebee's and IHOP.
Yeah, yes.
It's really good food for when you're high.
Yes. Yeah, I love where your head's at on this one.
I'm surprised your head didn't go
I'm
there.
I'm thinking about a Dos Races song, which is the name of the band that sings that. Not just a weird yeah. thing I said. Yeah.
I was really disappointed to, as you said, like find out this is just an old idea. It's just like the sit down version of the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
So I found an interesting twist on this.
Okay.
Which was from like an operations perspective. Mm. It was like they share one kitchen, right? So if you run an IHOP, you have a morning rush. Mm-hmm. If you run an Applebee's, you have an evening rush. So they're like, we're kind of like going at all day parts. And when they said that, I was like, that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, if you come in the morning, you're gonna get the majority of the people are going to order from the IHOP menu, and you've got the same kitchen that cooks it, and then it's going to transition to lunch where it's going to be 50-50, and the evening it's going to be 70-30 the other way for Applebee's. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I think it's like, great. Sure, I support it. Good idea. Makes sense. Also sharing the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to what's happening with the ghost kitchens here anyway, where like one kitchen without a storefront is being used to like service delivery for a bunch of different restaurants.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's like a trend. I like it. I was just like, okay, so this has nothing to do with drugs. But just to be clear.
That's nothing to do with drugs. I mean, it doesn't not have something to do with drugs. I mean, it's an IHOP and an Applebee's
in the
same place.
If you are a Wake and Bake or, you know, you go to that same place that you go to late at night when you're high after
yes.
you're done with your
or
work
if you're
or whatever,
so high you just sit there till you're hungry
day.
Again.
Yeah.
We've got the spot for you.
Yeah. So they should think about that in their marketing.
Apparently they don't have to.
All right, one more story before we get to our taste
two
test.
Two more stories.
Sorry, two more stories before we get to our taste test. Two more or one more?
Hoda.
Oh, right, Hoda. I was like, I want to talk about this. Two more celebrity stories. One, Simu Liu, who was on the Oscars broadcast in I'm Just Ken. He's in Barbie. Mm-hmm. He's in Shang-Chi as well, I believe.
Yes.
He also was on an episode of The Bachelor last season, Bachelorette. He rated the food at all of the Oscars and the Oscar after parties.
Yes. You didn't say R-A-I-D-E-D. Rated.
Rated.
Yeah. Sounded like the other one.
Ten
oh, like
minutes.
Right, he did that as well.
I'm just going to read his post on Threads. This is the first time we're referencing a thread here on Food News.
Great point.
Oscars, 3 out of 10. Jimmy stashed some soft pretzel and Sour Patch Kids under our seats. It wasn't glamorous, but did its job.
Okay. Well, let's just break down each one.
Okay.
That's very nice. He's got a note from Jimmy on it. It's for celebrities. He gave you a little snacky poo underneath your seat.
You're in a theater. What are you expecting?
I liked
it. The Oscars.
Yeah, and it's more than the 0 out of 10 you would have gotten if you didn't get that.
Totally. It's a ridiculous complaint. Anyway, Governor's Ball, 11 out of 10. This was insane. Wood-fired pizzas, paella, wagyu, sliders, Peking duck. I did nothing but inhale food the whole time.
Now this, I want to discuss.
This is too heavy.
Very heavy, but
for
also,
a party?
I just really like how high-end it is across the board.
Yeah.
Paella?
Paella is great. Love paella.
Peking duck?
Yes, agreed.
Wood-fired pizzas?
Agreed. All right, Vanity Fair, 7 out of 10. The infamous party with In-N-Out burgers on tap. Can't go wrong.
Yes, you can.
I feel like that's an appropriate rating. It's sort of like, yes, that makes sense.
I don't know. I'm not the biggest In-N-Out supporter in the world. And I also kind of feel like mass-produced In-N-Out that are already cooked, not made to order, are just kind of like, it's not doing it for me.
Yeah.
It's not doing it for me.
I do agree, though. It's, like, iconic. So it's kind of like you got to experience this really iconic thing.
I guess.
Madonna, 9 out of 10. This is the party that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift went to. Full spread of curry rice, naan, and samosas. I was simply too full. LOL.
I like this theme.
The host of this was Guy Osiri, who I believe is British. So, you know, British food and British people, Indian food.
Yes. I really like the theme because if you think about, like, wood-fired pizzas have nothing to do with paella, which have nothing to do with Peking duck, but have nothing to do with wagyu sliders. There's no sort of like theme there besides like rich people stuff. But I like the theme on the Madonna party.
My main takeaway from this was that he wanted to brag about all the parties he went to, and mission accomplished.
God bless him.
I just feel like saying I was simply too full to end this post when it's like ending with the 4 parties you attended. Just like, all right, it's a really big flex.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest flex of his life. Although I don't know, he's in Marvel movies, so good for him. All right, last story for real. Story from Page Six. Hoda from the Today Show.
Yep.
She said that her dream first date would be at Chili's.
I love this.
She also added, I like Cracker Barrel, Cheesecake Factory, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and Outback. Do not diss any of those. And then Chili's, she exclaimed. Just okay. A great quote.
I love everything about this. And as someone who literally has not gone on an actual date for 22 years, I just want to say this. I like taking the restaurant experience out of the conversation and just making that not a variable in the equation.
So it's just about the food?
No, it's just about like you and me chatting.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's not about like this fancy place or where did I get the reservation or what we're eating or look at the menu. It's like we've all had this experience. The food's going to be mediocre. It's just that standard. We don't have to talk about it. Let's just like get to know each other. That was what I was thinking.
I like it also because those places like provide conversation topics for someone like Hoda. It's like, it's so funny. We're here at Chili's.
I guess.
Let's get a Bloomin' Onion.
That's the opposite of what I said.
But that's like, gives something to talk about. It's still like just you and me.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I just liked that it wasn't bougie.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I'm not trying to impress you with this Michelin star experience where I like know the host and blah, blah, blah.
But for Hoda, it has to be somewhat ironic. She's on the Today Show.
I mean, she's Hoda.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm also thinking like she's drinking wine on TV at 11 in the morning. Is she still awake at 7?
It's so impressive.
Is she still awake?
So impressive. Okay, let's get into today's taste test.
Provided by Julia Littman. What was your inspiration here?
I was like, what's new at Whole Foods? Literally, I was like, I haven't been in a while. I haven't talked about it on a podcast in a while, so it's a personal record.
Any mini totes?
I didn't even look. You know, the lines have gotten long at my Whole Foods. Really? I'd like for them to rectify that. Oh, but anyway, two new flavors from Jenny's ice cream, our old fave. They're powdered jelly donut and pineapple upside down cake. And I got these because very often with these novelty flavors, I'm just like, will it taste like the item it's
like
supposed
to?
And the answer is almost always no. I'm like, of course not. But with Jenny's, I feel like it might.
She nails it. Jenny nails it.
And like, we had that really good peaches and cream one. So we've had some
strawberry shortcake.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, got to be somewhat in the neighborhood of the jelly powdered donut. Where are we starting? Pineapple? I feel like pineapple's a bunch of strong flavor. We'll do that second.
Okay. So we'll start with the powdered jelly donut.
I'm pretty excited. I'm very excited. It's ice cream. Come on. Me and you both love ice cream.
We love ice cream.
Oh, look at there's some. There's like a little like cake area here.
Ooh, yummy.
I've got a giant spoonful.
Oh my God. This looks awesome.
You go first. I'll fill. There's more different textures than I expected. There's truly like a jam swirl, the cream, and then like a donut chunk.
Doesn't taste like a donut at all.
Not at all. Whoa.
At all.
What does that taste like? Wow.
I don't know.
Wait, it tasted like something, but I have to like close my eyes. It tastes like something specific, but not a jelly donut.
It's kind of like, it's not that sweet. It's weird.
That, Jenny, no.
Wow.
Like, it's not even good. I can't lie. I support Jenny's. I love you, Jenny, but I gotta tell the truth.
We really.
That was, and this ice cream.
I'm covering it back up.
And it's not that good.
I always go in for more, and I'm covering it back up.
Wow.
That's shocking.
Wow. Jenny's first L.
I'm really surprised. Okay.
Me too.
Now we're having the pineapple upside down cake, which like,
I thought this was going to be bad. I'll read the lid for us while you do your first bite.
Okay.
Because powdered donut was, this is sweet tart pineapple yogurt with red cherries, golden cake, and a caramel swirl. Okay.
This is actually really good.
Okay. Does it taste like upside down pineapple?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Hmm.
Wow.
More tart than you'd think.
Wasn't expecting this to be my favorite of the two.
Yes, that's very good.
Very good. I'm having a second.
It does a really good job of mixing the tart yogurt with the sweet of the caramel and the other ingredients.
I'm shocked by the jelly donut.
The jelly donut thing. That I hope that's a limited release.
Weird.
Jenny, we love you and everyone that works at Jenny's.
We do.
But we're gonna tell the truth. That's a miss.
That is not good. Okay.
Wow. I've never seen you cover it up so fast. You didn't want to look at it anymore.
I know. It's weird.
Wow.
All right. Personal food news time.
Okay.
Last week, I ordered from Just Salad, as I do many weekdays. Mm. I ordered at the wrong location. I was in between two, and I walked to the one I thought I was going to, but I ordered the wrong one.
I'm so sorry.
This is kind of similar to like when you cancel. They were just like, there's nothing we can do for you. Just have to order again at this location. And I understand why, but I really felt that was insufficient. I was like, so now I just don't have time to get lunch, and I've paid for this, and I can't get it.
And your company got the money.
Your company still got the money, and you're just like telling me I'm screwed. And like, I've been to Just Salad since, didn't ruin the relationship, but I just feel like there should be like some kind of course of action here.
Okay. Number one, I just want to say, and it's at the very core, you fucked up.
I made a mistake.
It's all right. So this is like, this didn't happen to you. This happened because of you.
Yes.
So
I made a mistake.
I don't feel that much empathy towards you. And if I was behind the counter, I'd be like, ma'am, that's about 10 blocks away. So if you want that salad that you paid for, you can go get that. And secondly, someone took the time and energy to make that salad and put it out there for you to pick up. So it's not just like our company got the money. Like, we also put in the time and effort and labor to create the product that you bought at the location that you bought it.
Sure. But also, it's like, an assembly line of salad making. It's not like artisanal.
It's a $20 salad. The labor plus the product. Yeah. It's approximately like a $2 cost.
And like my order is like literally a dime a dozen for them. It's very crowded. So yes, I'm not saying it didn't take like work, but it wasn't like an individual dish.
What were you kind of looking for?
Then just be like, well, I'll make one for you
right now.
Yeah. And I didn't. I get it. I understand why I didn't. I just was like, it was just like a very unsatisfactory interaction. So
how did you handle it? When they said what they said, did you just kind of like look at them for a while? Did you say anything back?
No.
You just like looked at them?
I just took the L. I was just like.
You didn't even look at them like with little like, that's all you can do?
I think for like a second, but I was also in a rush. So I was like, I have to go. Like,
oh, so you didn't get a salad?
No, I didn't have lunch that day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't have time.
Oh, that is an L.
Yeah, it sucked.
Oh.
God. I told you, unsatisfactory. All right.
That's tough.
Your turn.
All right. Mine's pretty simple.
Okay.
I was at Blue Ribbon Sushi having a lunch by myself. And you know I love soup, Jacobian soup on TikTok. I'm trying to put more energy into it, maybe post more than once every 3 months.
Okay.
Follow me there. And I got the spicy seafood soup.
30 seconds.
It wasn't spicy. It was soup. It was good. But here's what I had a lot of trouble with.
Okay.
There were no noodles in the soup. It was all like chunks of seafood. But I couldn't figure out what animal I was eating outside of the clams and the salmon.
Where did you get this?
Blue Ribbon Sushi.
Oh, right. Mm.
But it was like, some of it was from various parts of squid and maybe various mushrooms. But it was very much nondescript seafood. And I felt like I needed like a box of chocolates. Like I needed like a guide.
I wish that you were able to, like, ask without that being, like, inappropriate.
I would never in a million years be like, oh, by the way, I don't know what I'm eating. What animals are these? No, I can't do that.
I know. I wish that you could, though. I really wish you could.
Spicy seafood soup. Also, if you're going to put spicy in the name of the item, it should be spicy.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
So we have a correction we have to make.
Before we get into today's listener food news, last week we said that Salt and Straw is based in California. It's not. It's from Portland.
Portland. We apologize to the people of Portland. We apologize to the people of California. I would say that we'll never let this happen again, but it probably already happened on this podcast.
I hope not, but yes, you're probably right. Yeah, all right.
Shout out to Portland.
Let's get into today's listener food news.
Hey, Juliet and Jacoby. This is Reed.
And Catherine.
We're on our baby moon in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and we just had Anita Gelato in Old Town San Juan after the recommendation from Jacoby. We wanted to report back. I had white chocolate pretzel and watermelon and mint.
I had cookies and cream and strawberry. It was delicious.
I think white chocolate pretzel may have been our favorite flavor. Anyway, we wanted to say thank you for the recommendation, and we also wanted to know what Jacoby's thoughts were on Clay eating soup in the Dominican Republic on Love is Blind.
Slurping soup.
Anyway, we love the pod. Thanks. Have a good day.
That soup was very controversial. A lot has been made about that whole scene.
Yes.
Him eating the soup and then stacking the plates.
Yes. You know I'm a soup eater and a plate stacker.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Reed, Catherine, congratulations on your impending baby. And secondly, you've been to Anita before.
Mm-hmm.
How many samples are you allowed to ask for? Because there's so many varied flavors. They all look so good that I kind of want like 7 samples before I commit to one. But that's ridiculous.
I think it has to be based on the line and also the people's attitude on the other side of the counter.
Yeah.
I think 2 is sort of what I think is the max.
I think if you're going to 3, it's kind of like at some point. Like you've now had as much gelato as in your order.
Anita Gelato's fucking everywhere. I can't believe it. It's amazing. I didn't know it was in the Dominican. So what do you think about Clay having the soup?
I'm pro soup at all times. I'm pro slurp as well. Like, I very much believe in this sort of, like, Asian tradition of, like, we don't have to be dainty and hold our spoon in a certain way and go away from yourself so you don't spill it on yourself. Like, pick up the bowl, go crazy, eat the soup. I'm a soup guy. I'm never going to be anti-soup. I don't care how hot it is. I don't care if I'm at the beach. I'm always pro-soup. Not always pro-Clay, always pro-soup.
Okay, great.
Did you hear the Clay and AD are still together?
Yeah, Clay and AD and Jimmy and Chelsea.
So it kind of worked out just how Clay wanted it to.
I'm happy for him. This is what I wanted for them. Listen to Bachelor Party for more. All right, everybody. Thanks to our producer, Mike Wargon. We'll be back next week.